live in Lansing every afternoon with Cheryl Fritz. This is Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, Scott Eckersley producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Representative Lisa Posthumous-Lyons, who is a Republican from Alton, also is Assistant Majority Floor Leader. Good evening, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you, Cheryl?
Good. Sounds like I caught you in transit.
I am. Yep, back and forth.
Well, I'm sure you are. Just be careful while you're driving, please. A bill you had introduced back in January passed through the legislature and is headed for the governor's desk, and that is the bill to end the item pricing law. You've said, well, first of all, congratulations. That's a big win.
Well, thank you. It's just a tad premature yet. It's still on the Senate floor. The Senate is working on immediate effect, and so it hasn't yet gone to the governor. We expect that to be taken up tomorrow.
Well, then, pardon me. I stand corrected. I jumped the gun a little bit.
Yeah, well, it did. The bill, the shopping modernization, did pass the Senate. Now there's an immediate effect vote that they are working on as well.
Now, you and I spoke back in the end of January, early February, about this, and from the beginning, you called this a hidden tax on the consumers in the state of Michigan.
Sure, we've found through a study that was done by the Anderson Economic Group that Michigan's one-of-a-kind item pricing law has cost our economy $2.2 billion. And that's based on the study that has found that that Michigan consumers spend that much money because of the item pricing law. And that's money that's not going into new investment, new retail operations, better customer service, new and greater technologies for consumers to use.
And this bill initially took effect back in January of 1978. And as you and I spoke before, there's only one other state in the United States, that being Massachusetts, that still has such a thing on the books.
Right. We are one of a kind in a bad way on this. This is just one example of Michigan being outdated in our regulations and our regulatory environment that's really putting us at a disadvantage with other states. And that's really what the goal here is. It's all about creating jobs and creating an environment competitive, and we can bring in new retail in addition to ensuring that consumers are able to use technology in my.
Oh, we're losing you in and out. There, you're back for a bit here. I hope we keep you. Retail groups have supported the change in that they have said it will save them a great deal of money, and it's one more regulation that they won't have to work with. Oh, we lost Lisa. Well, Scott, we'll try to get her back here. As I was saying, retail trade groups have supported this change. They have said that the current law results in higher prices because of the labor and price guns that are needed to tag the individual items. The revised regulations would require retailers to post an item's price where it could be clearly seen, but wouldn't require price tags on the individual items. Ah, Scott tells me we have Lisa back. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Cheryl. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I kind of vamped and went on without you. I'm not doing as good a job as you are with me. We left off with retail groups are big supporters of this change in terms of less regulation, and they can save money, and it's about saving businesses money.
Well, it's about creating that environment. I don't think businesses are going to necessarily pocket the money that's saved that doesn't go into item pricing. What this does, this is an investment for them, and investors don't sit on venture capital. They're going to use this to stimulate the economy, and that's what's so exciting about this. And this is long handcuffed retailers and I think they're just really excited about the opportunities here.
Now, there's always people, it seems, that they're opposed to something. Like United Food and Commercial Workers Union and so forth have said that it's about loss of jobs, that people could lose some jobs. What's your response to that?
Yeah, well, don't be fooled by that, Cheryl. The same study that I've been referring to also indicated they did an employment number or an employment study on that. And Michigan, despite it being the only state that has this type of item pricing law, our state's retail employment numbers are not any higher than those states around us and states that don't have the item pricing law. So the fact is, and in my conversation with even unionized, even members of that union, those that are actually stickering the price tags on these items, they're not afraid of losing their jobs. They're looking forward to a redeployment into customer service and other stores that may result from not having to comply with the law. They're not afraid of losing their jobs. This puts the emphasis and the focus off price guns and on people.
Well, and in fact, Governor Snyder did say in calling for the repeal of this act when he first took office that it would save businesses money that they could use to hire more workers.
Right. That's exactly it. I almost couldn't say it better myself. This is all part of this reinvention of Michigan.
And people will just get used to, I mean, we got used to there being a sticker on every can, and that doesn't change anything in terms of having the price for every item very visible for everyone to see.
Right, Cheryl. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm really proud of this bill. I'm proud of the work we put into this to work with consumer groups like AARP who does support the bill. To show that we can modernize our shopping regulations while still maintaining consumer protections that our shoppers have come to know and they deserve, and that includes that in the law, in the new law, there will be a requirement that retailers have to communicate the price of items in the store at the place they're located, and you know, retailers spend millions of dollars trying to tell consumers what their prices are. They're not going to back away now.
Well, no, absolutely not. Quite the crowds at the Capitol the last couple of weeks, actually, Representative Lyons. Were you able to meet with constituents today and in and around the Capitol?
Oh yeah, our office is open. Obviously, the folks that are there have come into several offices. It's really exciting what's going on. This is a critical time in Michigan's history, and that's all part of our democratic process. I'm listening to people who are supportive of the efforts of the governor and the legislature, and I'm listening to people who have concerns and who aren't supportive. That's all the beautiful part about having a democracy.
And your feeling on the emergency financial managers bill that went through the legislature last night?
Yeah, I supported that bill, and I would do it again. I'm not concerned about the bill does not, despite what others would tell you, the bill does not end collective bargaining. And this is just one way that we can hold governments and local schools accountable to the taxpayers. This was something that was needed. This, you know, emergency financial managers are a last resort under this measure. There's a lot of tools put in place to help municipalities and schools avoid having to go to that measure.
Well, very good. I appreciate your time on your drive home. I hope we didn't make it any more difficult for you. As always, very nice to speak with you.
Nice speaking with you as well. Have a great night.
You as well. Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Representative Lisa Posthumous-Lyons, Republican representative, also Assistant Majority Floor Leader. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.